Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi rabbil alamin. Vessalatu vesselamu ala eşrafil enbiya'i vel murselin. Seyyidina Mevlana Muhammedin hatemin nebiyyin ve ala alihi ve ashabihi ecmaîn. Men tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yevmiddin. Amma ba'd. Elhamdülillah, my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening. We've been going through this chapter, Babun Nafqati ala al-Ayal. Imam an-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this chapter, which is titled the chapter which discusses those ahadith, or the virtues of spending upon your own family members. Remember, sadaqah, charity, can come in many forms. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, there are many different types of charity. Even smiling. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَا لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. Don't underestimate any good deed that you do. Don't think any good deed that you do is small. Even if it means to meet a Muslim brother with a smiling face. Even this is sadaqah. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, removing something harmful from the path, sadaqatun, is charity. So there are many different forms and avenues of charity through which a person can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not always necessary that we sit down with the tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is also worshipping Allah ta'ala. It's not always necessary that we sit with the Qur'an or we stand in salah. As a Muslim who has embraced the religion of Islam, the religion of Islam is supposed to dictate our every single action. The religion of Islam is supposed to dictate our every single action. That's why in the hadith, hadith that we were covering in class, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever introduces anything into this affair of ours, this matter of ours. The ulama have said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say whoever introduces something into Islam, then that is rejected. Meaning something new into Islam, a bid'ah into Islam, then it is rejected. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the wording, whoever introduces something into this matter of ours. Meaning Islam is part of our life. Everything that we do is dictated by Islam. Islam is not something that we put in the box. That Islam is there and we'll be Muslim at this time and the remaining time we'll be like everybody else. What does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa. When you become a Muslim entirely. You can't become Muslim for 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, or when you're Muslim with these certain people, or when you're in the masjid. And when you go outside the masjid, you can behave like anybody else out there. Rather, when you embrace Islam, we have to embrace it as a package. Our entire life. That's why when we study the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waking up, eating, sleeping, using the miswak. I've said, did you send me that post about Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi saying, use the miswak with your left hand? See, all of these, I didn't know that. That some of the scholars of Islam have mentioned, look, because what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That your right hand is used for noble things, and your left hand should be used for cleaning, etc. So one of the great scholars of Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned, and his student Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi quoted from him, that Ibn Taymiyyah said the sunnah of using the miswak is with the left hand. Similarly with using the toothbrush, because this is, you're cleaning yourself. So many of us might not have even considered this. So Islam is a part of our every single action. Every single action a Muslim does, they have to think to themselves, how does Allah Ta'ala want me to do that action? In which way, if I perform that action, will Allah Ta'ala be happy? Will I be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Any action, the smallest one. You know, one of the great scholars of Islam, Hakim al-Ummat Munashib al-Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, I can't remember, there was some small task that he had to do and he never did it. He never did it. Someone said, Shaykh, you've never done this certain action. It's slipping my mind what that action was. He said, because I have never managed to find out or ascertain, understand, how would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have performed the action? That's why I didn't even perform it. Meaning before they did any action, they would think, as a Muslim, what does Allah Ta'ala want me to do? How would I be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that action? Because this is Islam. Islam is me, my life, my actions, my speech. My silence is Islam. My speech is Islam. My walking, my talking, my behavior is Islam. So that's why anything a person does, if we're doing it without any cause, oh, I just bought something for this person. Why did you buy it? Why don't I just bought it? No. You need to have an intention. As a Muslim, you've done an action. Why have you done that action? Is it to please Allah Ta'ala? If it is to please Allah Ta'ala, then that action is beneficial for you. If it is not to please Allah Ta'ala, then you haven't got anything from it. That's why in so many ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about ihtisab. Ihtisab. Ihtisab means that when you do a good deed, you think that Allah Ta'ala will give you reward. You have hope of reward from Allah Ta'ala. If you don't have ihtisab, then many times that action is not benefiting you. But a Muslim has ihtisab. And once a person brings this quality of ihtisab into their life, before anything they think about how will Allah Ta'ala deal with them, they'll only do good things. People will deal harshly with them. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have is people saying family members not getting on. Brothers, sisters, parents, with siblings, with children, siblings with each other, with your uncle, with your aunt, with this relative. And what do people say? I was so nice to that person, but they don't treat me back, they don't reciprocate. They don't behave in a kind way back to me. They don't behave, deal good with me, that's why I do salam kalam, but that's about it. So I fulfill my sila rahmi, what we call sila rahmi, where I fulfill, I maintain family ties, but they don't give, you know, they don't do anything back. They're not kind back, they're not good back to me. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. You know, a person who says, I do sila rahmi, I fulfill the rights of my relatives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that person who does kafa'a means where if somebody treats you kindly, you treat them kindly back. Someone treats you nicely, you treat them nicely back. This is someone who does that, these people are kind to me, so I'm kind to them back. These people are nice to me, I'm nice to them back. This is not sila rahmi. This is not maintaining of establishing family ties. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, second part of the hadith, وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلِ, rather the person who establishes family ties is the one who their relatives break ties with them and then they struggle to fix ties with their relatives. Meaning their relatives say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, I don't like you, they never come to visit you, they always speak bad about you, but you are still concerned about how to fix the family ties, how to mend the problems, how to fix the issues. But our minds don't go that way. Our mind goes to the direction that if he's nice to me, I'll be nice back to him. Or if he doesn't want anything to do with me, then why should I disgrace myself? Why should I go through zillat? Why should I go through humiliation? Why should I go show my face in my house? Why should I, my wife and children have to show their faces in that person's house when that person hasn't phoned me for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? If they don't want anything to do with me, I don't need to go to their house. But this is not sila rahmi. We are sinful for doing this. Sila rahmi, maintaining family ties, is when we make the effort after somebody else has given up. Somebody else says, I don't want anything to do with that person. Well, you say, no, this person is my father, my mother, my children, my sibling, my uncle, my aunt, any relative. They have a haq, they have a right over me. Even our parents' friends. Our parents' friends, one of the huquq responsibilities, one of the rights that children have over their parents is that when their parents die, their friends of their parents, they maintain ties with them. Why? Because that person was a friend of my father. That person was a friend of my mother. Look how much huquq and responsibility Islam has placed on us. We need to be, these are the things we need to think about. Not just blindly doing any action based on our emotions. I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like the way he behaved, she behaved, this and that. We shouldn't be like this. Anyway, so the reason I mentioned this is because this chapter is very important. There's only two hadith left of this chapter, so I'm going to be wrapping up anyway. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, look, every single one of you, you'll be married, you will have children. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who would be deemed as children today, teenagers today, were getting married. Sahaba getting married at a very, very young age. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu was a young teenager when he got married. And he got married to a woman who had already been divorced. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why did you not get married to a bakira, a young woman? Tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuka. That you could have enjoyed time with her. She could have enjoyed time with you. She's young. Why did you get married to someone so old? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father passed away and he left many of my siblings. And I needed someone responsible, old enough, so that she could look after everyone. So this was his maturity. So they'd get married at a young age, and then your life would become about your family. And the main responsible people would be your wife, your children, your household. And that was a time when women didn't work. So the men had to financially fund everything in the house. So many times it could become a burden. Many times it could become difficult. Many times people might just take it as given. You know, I have to do this. I have to buy the groceries. I have to pay for my children's this expenses. I have to buy this for my wife. So that's why there are so many ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and these ahadith are passed. The best charity, afdalu sadaqati, the best charity is the sadaqah that a person spends on their own family members. Their ayal, the people who Allah has made it wajib for you to spend upon. Your wife, your children. So these are two last ahadith I'll mention regarding this, inshaAllah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُصْبِحُ الْعَبْدُ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ فَيَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِ مُنْفِقًا خَلَفًا وَيَقُولُ الْآخَرُ اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِ مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا. Muttafaqun alayh. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every single day, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ, in every single day, يُصْبِحُ الْعَبْدُ فِيهِ, that a person is, every single morning that a person breathes the air, two angels descend, مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ, two angels descend. Meaning from Allah Ta'ala, two angels come unto the earth. And one of the angels makes this dua, اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِي مُنْفِقًا خَلَفًا. O Allah, whoever is charitable, whoever has spent in your path, give them the best of khalafa. Khalaf means recompense, meaning give them the best back. Ulama have said that could be reward, that could also be, oh Allah, the money or the wealth that he has or she has given in charity, give them that money back. Meaning anything that you spend, angel every single day is doing dua, oh Allah, give that person the same thing back in reward, anything that they have spent. Ulama have said it's ajr, of course, reward, and on top of that, the wealth that you have spent, it's not that this wealth will not appear, the more you spend, the more will come to you. The easiest way to become very, very rich and a millionaire is to give more in charity. The more you give, Allah Ta'ala gives back to you, as long as a person has that yaqeen. So one angel makes this dua. Another angel makes the dua, وَيَقُولُ الْآخَرُ, and the second angel makes the dua, اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِي مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا. O Allah, the person who is miserly, the person who is not spending in charity, let his wealth be destroyed. Some ulama mean the person who is miserly, not generous, does not like to give, that person, a time will come when even they actually will have nothing left. It can also mean that that person in the hereafter will suffer a lot of loss. But the point is that this generosity, this hadith is general. This hadith is not talking about spending on your family members. Rather, this hadith is encouraging us to be generous. Have the hand of giving, giving, giving. On the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? That when everybody is sweating, drowning in their own sweat, سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ, seven types of people Allah Ta'ala will shade them under his arsh. Imagine the status and the honor. Someone who Allah Ta'ala is giving them saya, giving them shade under his own arsh. One of those types of people, someone, رَجُلٌ يُنْفِقُ بِيَمِينِ, رَجُلٌ, a person who spends with his right, a person whose left hand does not know what his right hand spent, and what his right hand does not know what his left hand spent. Meaning he's so generous that he is giving and giving and giving and he keeps no track. Some of the people you say, how much charity you've given, they know. I give £10 to this guy, £5 to this guy, £10 to this charity and £10 to that charity. Alhamdulillah. And you have some people who give so much in charity, anyone who asks they give, anywhere that they think is a reasonable place or of spending they give, they spend on their friends, they spend on their family members, they spend on everybody. They can't keep track of how much they've spent on charity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of person that is discussed. So he is with such a fortunate person, Allah Ta'ala will say, you have shade under my arsh. So if that person has shade under Allah Ta'ala's arsh, where is the punishment going to affect him from? How will that person end up in the fire of Jahannam? So it's very, very important to develop this character, quality of generosity. In this day and age, generosity is leaving the people's hearts. People don't consider, people don't mind spending £100, £200, £500 on their wife, on their children, on their parents, the people that matter. Beyond that, we don't want to spend anymore. Beyond that, why should I give to my neighbors? Why should I give to my friends? Look at the lives of the Sahaba, look, read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look how generous he was. Nothing ever stayed in his hands. Even the pious people, we don't read the lives of the pious people. The pious people, anything that would come in their hands would go. Come in one hand, go the other hand. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great scholars of India, he, when he was a child, his father trained him in such a way that his father would give him some money. He would give him money, like, you know, pocket money, he'd take it. And then he would say, can you see that beggar over there, this poor person over there, I think he needs it, go and give him your money. So he trained him. Every time he would give him some money in his hand, it's your money, but then he would show him, look, that's a good place to spend it. He goes, so my father trained me in such a way, he's saying this in his old age when he's writing his autobiography, he said, I can't hold on to money. Anytime someone gives me money, I see someone else needy, I give that money to them, because I never have money on me. And this was the extent of their generosity, everything gone. Allah, what does Allah Ta'ala say about the Sahaba? Allah Ta'ala praises the Sahaba for their generosity. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They are spending upon other people even if they are going through khasasa, makhmasa, poverty. They're going through poverty, but they will still spend on other people. So this is the quality of generosity. So a person who spends generously, these two angels every single day, this is just an ishara, a sign to show us the status of the generous one in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. The angels are saying, oh Allah, the person who is generous, give them back in return. So Allah Ta'ala is accepting that dua. That's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning this. And someone who does not spend is miserly, the angels are saying, oh Allah Ta'ala, let his wealth be a means of destruction for him. He's amassing wealth in his bank account and he can't spend it on people. Every penny he spends, he calculates. I spent 10 pounds here. I can't give charity anymore because I've already given this much charity. We have fixed amount. I can only give 50 pounds in charity. I can only give 100 pounds. I can't give more than that. Inshallah, the last hadith and we'll finish. وَعَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى وَابْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولِ وَخَيْرُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا كَانَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنًا وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu again narrates this hadith. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. Meaning, dene wala haat, lene wala haat se better hai. The hand that gives, the upper hand, is better than the lower hand. Meaning, you should be someone who is always giving, not someone who asks. Some people have said, maybe this hadith means someone who accepts gifts, or someone who accepts, you know, a lot of people are giving them gifts and they accept those gifts. Are they the lower hand? The ulama have said no. Lower hand is someone who is asking. Doesn't matter what difficulty we go through, we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala is the one who's going to provide. Allah ta'ala is the one who's going to look after me. So the upper hand is better than the lower hand, meaning be charitable, be generous. وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. And when you give in charity, start with the people who you are responsible for. Your ayal, your family members, your wife, your children. Meaning, whatever you spend on your wife and your children and your household is sadaqah, is charity. As long as the other hadith in the past, last week we mentioned, as long as you have ihtisab. And what does ihtisab mean? As long as you hope that Allah Ta'ala will give you ajr and reward. If a person doesn't have ihtisab and hope of reward, and they've just made it habitual, I just spend on my wife and children, whatever they need, I give it. But there's no hope of reward, where is that reward going to come from? Because there's no hope, there's no desire to please Allah Ta'ala through that action. You just feel, my wife, my children are my burden, I've got to deal with them, I've got to pay for his expenses, her expenses, this and that. And you're not doing it to please Allah Ta'ala. So where is the ajr, where is the reward going to come from? So it's very, very important to have the intention of reward. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, give charity, but start from where? Your own family members. Your own family members. In the hadith mentioned, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is better that you leave your children rich when you die, that they are independent, rather than leaving them poor where they have to go and ask from people. Make your family stable, financially stable. وَخَيْرُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا كَانَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنًا. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the best sadaqah, the best charity a person gives is when they are financially independent themselves. Meaning they're not financially struggling. Because if you and your wife and children are financially struggling, your first priority is your family. The best charity is here in your own, upon the people who you are responsible for. So now when you are financially independent, financially strengthened, now this is the best charity. Spend upon other people. Because you know, alhamdulillah, my family and everybody also spent, well spent upon. وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever abstains from asking people, for begging from people, Allah Ta'ala will keep them independent. Someone who makes a habit, I will never ask to borrow money of people, I will never ask help from other people, because I only require help from Allah Ta'ala, يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala will always keep him in that state, but he will never need the help of people. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِ يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ. A person who keeps themselves independent, again, similar meaning, person who keeps themselves independent and a person who is content with whatever Allah Ta'ala has given them, يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala will keep that person content. That person will never be wanting. That person will never feel financially, I can't move forward, I'm stuck, I can't look after this situation or that situation. Allah Ta'ala will always make things easy for them. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand these ahadith, and Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to bring into practice these ahadith into our life. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.